Folks, I want you to take your Bible, your iPad, your iPhone, whatever you have, and we want to stand for the reading of God's Word. We're not worshiping the Word, but we are worshiping the God of this Word. John chapter 12, a beautiful, beautiful story. We've been preaching about significance through serving, and today we'll conclude that, and next week we'll start talking about Christmas, preaching messages about Christmas, because Jesus is what Christmas is all about. Amen? It's all about Jesus, and that's what we want it to be about. But in John chapter 12, verse 1, it says this. It says, then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, and he raised from the dead. There they made him supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then Mary took a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him. Dan Clark told a story about when he was a boy. He said he went to the circus. He said, Dad and I were in the line going to the circus, and he said there was a family in front of us. He said it looks like they had about 8 children, and the oldest one would have been about 12 years of age. And Dan Clark said, I heard these children talking about the circus, and they were talking about the lions and the tigers, and they were talking about the clowns, and they were talking about the elephants, and they were so excited. But he said, I saw this dad of the 8 children and his wife get up to the ticket counter, and I heard the attendant share how much money it would be for the man and his family to get into the circus. And he said, as a boy, I watched that father's head drop when they told him the amount. And he said, then I watched my father. My father walked up to the man, pulled something out of his pocket, and dropped it on the ground. And it was a $20 bill. And my father said to that man, he said, sir, you dropped this. I just wanted to make you aware of it. And he said, the gentleman knew what my father had done. But he said, he shook my father's hand and said, sir, you'll never know what this means to our family. You'll never know what this means to my family. And he said, my dad was teaching me the secret to a fulfilled life is not in what you get. The secret to a fulfilled life is serving. The secret to a fulfilled life is in giving. I want to take a few moments today, and I want to talk to you about what I really want from the bottom of my heart. What I really want from the bottom of my heart for everyone. I want everyone to experience a happy life. A happy life. And folks, the happy life, Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive. And that word blessed in the Greek and in the Hebrew means happy. In the Greek and in the Hebrew, the word blessed means happy. And I want to talk to us about how to experience a happy life. Now, here's what I want you to understand, folks. I wondered about this for years. There's 500 verses in the Bible on prayer, and that's important. 500 verses in the Bible on faith, and that's important. But there are 2,300 verses in the Bible on finances. You say, what kind of preacher was Jesus? I don't know exactly. I don't think he preached. I don't think he was one of these in your face like Benny Tate. You know, he gave his greatest message sitting down, the Sermon on the Mount. He actually sat down. But Jesus spoke 30% of the time, folks, on giving. I mean, can you imagine 3 out of every 10 messages, he was talking about giving. He was talking about finances. Now, there is a verse that I've heard preachers many times misquote the verse. I'm not being hard on them. I've probably misquoted the verse. But there's a verse that I've heard preachers misquote, and you probably have too. It's in Matthew 6 and 21. Look what it says. It says, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Most of my ministry, I've heard it vice versa. Where your heart is, there be your treasure also. Where your heart is, there be your treasure also. But folks, that's not what the Bible teaches. If somebody shares the verse that way, they've taken it out of context. Because what it actually says, wait. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be. I realize something. You know why Jesus spoke 30% of the time on finances? You know why there was 2,300 verses in the Bible on finances? Because Jesus is interested in my heart, and Jesus is interested in your heart. He's interested in our hearts. And he said, really, to get to your heart, I've got to deal with your treasure. Am I preaching the book? I've got to deal with your treasure, because your heart is following your treasure. Somebody said, wait, Pastor Benny, I just really wish I had a heart for missions, and I wish I had a heart for homeless people, and I wish I had a heart for the church, and I wish I had a heart for this. I'll tell you what I've learned. If you'll give some of your treasure to it, you'll get a heart for it. Wait, you invest in stock? Do you start monitoring their stock? Do you start looking at those investments? I'll promise you, whatever you've invested in, that heart will follow also. See, folks, I had this thought early this morning. I wish I had time to deal with it. And I've got to, because I'm going to have more material that I'm going to have time for. I get a message and it ought to be a series. But I was running early this morning, and God gave me this thought. See, The Bible doesn't say you can't serve God and the devil. The Bible says you can't serve God and mammon. You can't serve God in riches. And all that, you can't serve God in money. You can't serve God in things. And I thought, Lord, it always comes down to you and things. It always has came down to God and things. It always has and it always will. You say, Pastor, what are you talking about? Let me explain. In the beginning, don't eat of that tree. Don't eat of that tree. It was God or the thing. Now, how's everything going to wrap up, folks? How's it going to wrap up? Great tribulation period. In order to buy and sell, you've got to accept the mark. It ends. God or things. That's the whole issue. And so God said, wait, I'm interested in your treasure. And the reason why I'm interested in your treasure is I'm trying to get to your heart. You say, Pastor, how do you think we handle this? Well, I think it all boils down to this owner-steward issue. We've got to reach a conclusion. Am I the owner or am I the steward? See, I've often said, all money's tainted. It taint yours and it taint mine. And we've got to decide, is God the owner or am I the owner? Is God the owner and I'm a steward, or am I the owner? Now, I want to share something. I want to ask Sam Perticchese. Sam, would you come just for a second? 28 years ago, the first person I led to Christ was Sam Perticchese. 28 years ago. He said, "Pastor Benny, I want to get papers to go to heaven." It's not a joke. And I said, "Friend, it's not through papers. It's through a relationship with God." So 28 years I've been his pastor. So he's somewhat indebted to me. Sam, I want you to do something. Could I get your wallet? Did you bring a wallet to church? I have some guys I was afraid to ask. You know what I'm trying to say. Okay, Sam, get your wallet. Cameron, would you come with the offering bag?
Thank you.
Wait.
Wow. Thank you, sir.
Sam, you'll never know what you mean to me. Never love you too. You'll never know what you mean. Let's give them a big hand. Cameron, thank you so much. Say, "Pastor, that was so easy." Oh, can I share something with you folks? Can I tell you? It was so easy to dig deeper. It was so easy to give more away because, see, it wasn't mine. It was his. You know why a lot of you are really already uncomfortable with the message? Because, see, it's yours. You've never realized Psalms 24:1 says, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein." When you reach to the point that you realize, "I'm not an owner, I'm just a steward. Everything I have, God's given to me," you'll be able to give it away more freely. But till you deal with this issue of owner-steward, Alexander the Great said, "Bury me with my hands outside of the casket because I want everybody to know I brought nothing into this world and I can take nothing out." Now, wait. Here's what I want you to get. Folks, if you say, "Pastor, I want to give because I want to help pay bills and I want to help you retire mortgage and I want to help you do all this," listen. I want to ask you something. Please don't give. I mean that from the bottom of my heart. If all you're giving for is out of guilt and you're "I'm going to help pastor with the bills," no, please don't give. Please just keep it. Because this is a spiritual principle. It's a spiritual principle. Jesus said it's more blessed. Jesus said you'll be happy. You'll be happy if you become a giver. Blessed means happy. The word miserable comes from the root word miser. I want to tell you a quick story and I'll get into the message. I know what you're thinking. I certainly hope so. I had an uncle that was the stingiest man ever lived. And I had a propensity to be like him. I'm just being transparent. And I didn't want to be like him. Because he lived a life of being miserable. He lived a life of not being a giver. And I said, "I don't want to live my life that way." And I've tried to be the antithesis of it. Because I realize the happy life is not a taking life. The happy life is a giving life. Let me give you 4 points right quickly. Number one, giving should be precious to us. Giving should be precious to us. If you look at verse 5 of John, this lady brought some ointment and she anointed the feet of Jesus Christ. She took this expensive perfume and she placed it on the feet of Jesus Christ. See, you got to understand, what she gave was a year's wage. It was a year's wage. Now, I don't know what your year's wage is. It matters not. But keep in mind, whatever your year's wage is, that's what this lady did. She brought a year's wage and she gave it to the Lord Jesus. You say, Pastor, how did she do this? How did Mary do this? I'll tell you how she did it. I studied Mary in Luke 10 and 39. I studied Mary in John 11 and 32. And I studied Mary in John 12 and 3. She's only mentioned three times in the Word of God. And all three times, she's at the feet of Jesus. How can we be right concerning giving? And how can we be right concerning serving? It comes out of a relationship with Jesus. It comes out of a relationship. See, you can love without giving. You can love without giving. But God wants us to give because we love Him so deeply. A lady contacted Butterball Turkey and she said, I've got a Butterball Turkey. It's been in the freezer 10 years and I just wondered, would it still be good? And they said, well, it'd probably be good, but after 10 years, it's going to be bland. She said, that's what I thought. I'll just give it to the church. Giving should be precious to us. Now, you got to understand something. If you read John 12 and 1, Jesus had raised her brother from the dead. It wasn't hard for her to give in light of what the Lord had done for her. It wasn't hard for her to give in light of what the Lord had done for her. I heard about some families one time, and they were in church, and one family said, we're going to give some money in honor of our son who was killed in the war. And they gave some money. And a wife said to her husband, why don't we do the same thing? He said, well, our son wasn't killed. He said, exactly. See, giving should be precious to us. Let me tell you something else. Giving will be pleasant to others. Look what verse 3 says. Verse 3 says, then Mary took a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. See, let me tell you about your giving. Let me tell you about my giving. It'll be precious to other people. You say, Pastor Benny, will my giving take me to heaven? No, 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 no. Your giving's not going to take you to heaven, but your giving might take somebody else to heaven. If I could sing, I'd sing this song. I dreamed I went to heaven. You were there with me. I walked upon the streets of gold beside the crystal sea. I heard the angels singing. Someone called your name. Then I turned and saw this young man. He was smiling as you came. He said, friend, you may not know me now, but he said, just wait. Used to teach my Sunday school when I was only 8. And every week you would say a prayer before the class would start. And one day I said a prayer and I asked Jesus into my heart. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I'm a life that was changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I'm so glad you gave. Then another man stood before you, said, remember the time? A missionary came to your church and the pictures made you cry. You didn't have much money, but you gave it anyway. Jesus took the gift you gave, and that's why I'm here today. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I'm a life that was changed. Let me tell you something. Giving should be precious to us. Giving will be pleasant to others. Giving will be perplexing. This woman brought her gift. She anointed Jesus Christ with her gift. And according to verses 4 through 6, there was a man there by the name of Judas. And Judas said, why? Why was this money not given to the poor? Now, folks, let me tell you something. First of all, Judas wasn't interested in the poor. He said it could have been sold for 300 pence and given to the poor. Let me tell you what really torqued him. What torqued him is she put the money on the Lord Jesus rather than giving the money in the bag because he was stealing out of the bag. He was the treasure, but he was stealing. He was stealing out of the treasury. That's the type of man that Judas was. Giving will be pleasant to others. Giving can be perplexing. See, You say, Pastor, what kind of man? What kind of man literally would steal out of the Lord's bag? He ought to be shot. Well, look what Malachi 3 and 8 says. Will a man rob God? Yet you've robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. See, I don't want to offend anybody, folks. But apparently we can steal from him by taking it out of the bag, but we can steal from him by not putting it in the bag. Now, am I preaching the book? Apparently, folks, we can steal. Judas was stealing from him by taking it out of the bag, but we can steal from him by not putting it in the bag. Oh, gosh, help me get through this, Jesus. See, folks, I'm convinced that Robert Morris is right. There are three levels of giving. Number one, they're tithes. They're tithes. Jesus said, bring you all the tithes into the storehouse. Now, wait, you know why he didn't say, give your tithe? Because it's not yours. Bring your tithes. It's God's. You said, Pastor, what does the word tithe mean? It means 10%. He said, well, Brother Benny, I'm doing a, God says if you bring your tithe, he'll open the windows of heaven. I'm doing 4%. Folks, he don't do windows for less than 10%. No, listen. Folks, we can shout and holler, but I'm preaching the book. I'm just preaching the book. Nobody's going to request the CD, but I'm preaching the book. Bring your tithes into the storehouse. I didn't write it. Take it up with him. Bring your tithes into the storehouse. George Barna said, so you don't feel uncomfortable, folks, 9% of Christians tithe. 9%. 91% don't. Bring your tithes. The second way we give is through offerings. But apparently you haven't given an offering until you've first given your tithe. And then second, we give through extravagant offerings. Extravagant offerings. See, this lady said, no, I'm going to bring a year's income, and I'm going to give it to the Lord. It's an extravagant offering. And you know what she went through? She went through six stages giving an extravagant offering. You said, well, give me those quick stages. I'll give them to you. Number one is hearing. She heard from the Lord. Folks, let me tell you something. I remember one time we was in a campaign, and I reached an amount I was going to give, and the Lord said to me, double it. Was it an audible voice? No, it was louder than that. And folks, let me just share with you. I'm going to be real transparent. So you can deal with the message. I don't mean this in a wrong way. So you can deal with the message. You say, Pastor Benny, you're teaching us that we ought to tithe. You're teaching us that we ought to give 10% of our income to God. You're teaching us that. Let me tell you something. The treasurer, the financial people are in the building. Financial people are in the building. And I'm not preaching something to you that I don't do. They're in the building. And I said, God said, double it. I said, I'm doing all I can do. And God said to me, that's your problem. You're looking at what you can do instead of what I can do. That's your problem. You're looking at what you can do instead of what I can do. The first, we just hear from God. And let me tell you, the second step is excitement. You just get a little bit excited about what the Lord wants you to do. But then there's a third step. It's fear. Something will say, you're crazy. And then the fourth step is logic. You'll start looking at alternative plans. And then the fifth step is doubt. This is what happened. Did you really hear from God? That could have been the devil. Let me tell you something. The devil's not going to tell you to give resources where lives are going to be changed and people are going to hear the gospel. No, the devil's not going to tell you. The devil's not going to tell you to give to something. The devil's going to tell you to keep it for yourself. The devil's going to say you better look out for old number one. Then lastly, there's faith. That's when you just trust God to do it. You just trust God to do it. This lady gave an extravagant gift. Let me tell you the last point. Giving is pleasing to God. Giving is pleasing to God. Look at verse 7. Then Jesus said, "Let her alone." Judas said, "She should have given this. She should have given it to me so I could steal out of the bag." And Jesus said, "Let her alone. Let her alone. What she has done is the right thing." Let me say something. What does giving do for you and me? I'll give you some quick things right quick. It teaches you that you can trust God. It teaches you that you can trust God. Now, let me share something. I don't want anybody to feel uncomfortable. I don't want to beat anybody up. You see, Pastor Benny, this whole issue of tithing, you've always been a tither, haven't you? No, I haven't. If it makes you feel any better, I haven't. But God taught me that I can trust Him. And God wants to know, can He trust me? Only one place in the Bible did God say, "Try me or trust me." Try me. It's concerning this issue. God said, "Try me," in Malachi 3:10. It teaches you that you can trust God. Number two, it allows God to bless you more. Look what the Bible says in Luke 16:11. "If therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to you trust in true riches?" What's God saying? If I can't trust you to do what's right concerning finances, how can I trust you with influence? How can I trust you with ministry? How can I trust you with promotion? God said, I can't trust you to be faithful in this area. Back when Savannah Abigail was young and used to date, guy would come over to the house and I'd spend a little time with him. I'd talk to him about God, show him my gun collection. "Daddy, don't ask him if he tithes. Don't ask him that." Well, let me tell you something. You say, why was it an issue? If you can't trust a person to do what's right with finances, I can't trust him with my daughter. That's what this scripture says. Benny Tate, I can't trust you with ministry. You won't even do what's right with finances. I can't trust you with a class. Benny Tate, you won't even do what's right with finances. I can't trust you with influence. You won't even do what's right with your finances. Number three, it breaks the grip of materialism. See, folks, most messages, if it's worry, I'd preach on 8 steps to overcoming worry. But when it's greed, you don't need a seminar. There's not but one step: give. That's all that's going to break the hold of materialism. That's all that's going to break the hold of materialism is giving. And folks, it's not about, it's not what you do with a million if a million were your lot. It's what you're doing with a dollar and quarter that you've already got. Somebody said, "Pastor, if I'm going to win the lottery, I'm going to remember the church." Get real. You don't even give now. No, you're not going to remember the church. You're not even doing what you ought to be doing now. You say, "Well, if I had so-and-so's..." It's not what so-and-so's doing. It's what you're doing. It's what I'm doing. Because givers are happy. Givers are happy. It makes you happy. Tell you a quick story, and I'll wrap all this up pretty quick. Robert Morris told this story, and I told it to our staff. I thought it was a great story. He said there was a lady in his church who was a single lady, and God placed it on her heart to start tithing. And she was, I think she was a waitress or whatever, but she was writing the tithing check out, I guess, for the month, and it was a check for $100. And the Lord said to her, "Make it $120. And she said, "Lord, I'm struggling just to tithe $100. And said the Lord said, "Make it $120. And Robert Morris said there was this man in his church that was the $100 man. He walked around and he carried $100 bills. And every time the Lord laid it on his heart to give $100 out, he would give $100 out to somebody. And that lady said she wrote that check for $120 and was leaving church. And the $100 man spotted her and he poured out his $100 bills in Dallas and was going to give her $100 and noticed a $20 right next to it. And God said, give her $120. And he said, God, I'm the $100 bill man. And God said, give her $120. And he walked up and he gave her $120. I was preaching in Dallas last week, and every night after I would finish preaching at the church I was at, Don Mapp and I would go to that church hoping to run into that $100. But Robert Morris told that story, and then he went home and he was having dinner, and his daughter said to him, Daddy, can I talk with you? He said, yeah. She said, Daddy, you're the $100 man, aren't you? He said, baby, I just told you there was a man in our church that gave away $100 bills. She said, Daddy, you're the $100 man. He said, why do you say that? She said, all my life, Daddy, I'd watch you walk up to people and place something in their hand and smile and walk away. You're the $100 bill man. He said, well, honey, I didn't lie. There was a man in our church, and I wish you'd never known. And then she looked at him and she said, Daddy, I want to be just like you. I want to be just like you. And Robert said, it is more blessed to give than receive. And the way God blesses us, folks, is many times in ways that we can't even imagine. And you know, as I talk about giving, I looked at these points, and Robert Morris is not the greatest example. God would be. I thought about these points, and I thought, God, you gave a precious gift. You gave the most precious gift. You gave your son to die on a cross for our sins. God, your gift was precious, but I'll tell you something else. Your gift was not only precious, but it was pleasant to others. Because we all benefited from his gift. But not only was it precious and not only was it pleasant, but I'll tell you something else. The gift, it was perplexing. It was perplexing. How can a gift that was given 2,000 years ago wash away our sins today? And lastly, his gift was pleasing. It was pleasing. Because Isaiah 53 and 10 says it pleased the Lord to bruise him. I've thought about this. If you really read the Gospels, the Bible says she took this gift. It's in three places. And she anointed his head. And it came down to his feet. And as Jesus went to the cross, the disciples forsook him and fled. And the devil no doubt whispered and said, nobody cares. But you know what I believe? I believe Jesus said, somebody cares. Somebody gave her all. Somebody cares. Ladies and gentlemen, after what the Lord has done for us, the least we can do is serve him.
Friend, I trust the message today has spoken to your heart. And if you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, I want to challenge you to do that today. It's the greatest decision you'll ever make. And I've often said, it's as simple as ABC. A stands for acknowledge. You've got to acknowledge that you're a sinner. B stands for believe. You've got to believe that Christ and His blood was shed on the cross for your sin. And then C, you simply must confess your sins to Him. I want to encourage you right now to repeat a simple prayer with me. I'll pray the prayer, you repeat it with me if you'd like to accept Christ as your personal Savior. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. But God, I'm sorry for my sin. I'm so sorry, I want to change. I believe that you died for my sin, and I confess my sin to you right now. Come into my heart, Lord, and forgive me of all my sin. Now thank you, Lord, for forgiving me. Thank you for coming in to my life. Amen. Friend, congratulations on the greatest decision that you'll ever make. And I want you to know, this decision is not based on how you feel right now, because God's not a feeling, He's a fact. This decision is based on the fact that you have done what God's Word says you must do to have eternal life. So congratulations on the greatest decision you'll ever make, and thank you for being with us today. God bless you, and we'll see you soon.